This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday, the second to last Saturday in July as the summer is flying by. Football Friday, a month away. We'll have high school football on August the 27th. Now, we will start our previews for fall sports beginning coming up in the first part of August. We'll have our volleyball preview, our boys soccer preview, and our football preview leading into Football Friday on August 27th. So we look forward to that very much. Couple of exciting notes here for some local kids. Reed Detmers promoted to AAA. He is no longer a trash panda. He is now in Salt Lake City. He is a B, just a stone's throw from the big leagues. Now, Reed is not on the 40-man roster at this point, but he has been promoted to AAA. He'll be pitching tonight against the Las Vegas Aviators. And I would assume, probably as we speak, this very moment, Kelsey Card is on a plane headed to Tokyo to become a two-time Olympian. She will compete in the discus coming up a week from today in Tokyo in the Olympic Games. So congratulations to Kelsey Card as she is en route to Tokyo as we speak, and congratulations to Reed Detmers as well, promoted to AAA. A couple of course, Reed from Nokomis, Kelsey from Carlinville, a couple of local people doing amazing things here in the world of baseball and, of course, in the Olympic Games. So we look forward to following their careers here as they unfold. Another note, Louis Lang, our buddy, going to be umpiring in the 12U USA National Fast Pitch Tournament in Decatur. That's going to be next week, July 29th through the August 1st, 12th national tournament for Louis Lang here in his career. So congratulations to Louis Lang. Congratulations also in order to Kyle McBrain. He is the new boys basketball coach at his alma mater, Hillsboro. And Kyle joins us on Sports Saturday right now. Kyle, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you, Tim?
Hey, fantastic. And I know you're fresh off vacation. What an exciting vacation that must have been. Always good to get away with the family. But right before you went on vacation, you got hired as the boys basketball coach. Just take me through kind of the emotions of the last 10 days or so.
Yeah, so when finding out, obviously, like I said, right before vacation, it was kind of nice. Kind of gave me a little bit of time to reflect on the long drive there and back, mm-hmm. and kind of get an idea of what we were going to do. But no, vacation was awesome. We got to, our kids love going to the ocean. We went to South Carolina, and I got to do a little golfing with my brother-in-law and my father-in-law. So yeah, it was a great time.
And talking with Kyle McBrain, and Kyle, I know when you were the girls basketball coach at Staunton, one of the reasons that you stepped aside there was to spend more time with your family. But when the boys job at your alma mater comes open, that can change things, can't it?
Yeah, no doubt. I took a few weeks before deciding to finally apply. And part of that was kind of sitting down with Hope and, you know, kind of thinking about the kid situation and everything. And she's, you know me, I've been coaching everything for the last 13 years, but she's always just been so supportive and just, you know, she knew that if this opportunity came open, it may not again. So, you know, our kids aren't in diapers. Well, one's still working on the potty training thing, but it's a little bit easier now. So that was kind of her justification, was like, hey, kids are a little bit older. You better do it now because, you know, once they get too much older, they're going to be doing activities of their own, and, you know, then maybe it'll start to slow down a little bit. But no, like I said, every coach knows that the wife is the backbone of the family when it comes to that. So she was all for it, and I'm appreciative of that.
Kyle, obviously a strange off season here for this Topper basketball team, a boatload of talent coming back. So you weren't really involved with them during the summer, but these kids know you from the baseball season for the most part.
Yeah, I knew at least a handful of them, you know, and basically, you know, with only 2 weeks left in the summer is not maybe the ideal time to take over a basketball program, but, you know, it kind of is what it is. But we've opened the gym up this last week, and we're going to open it up the final week of the summer, and just kind of whoever can make it sort of thing. You know, this is kind of that time of the summer where people are taking their vacations because it's usually kind of winding down or, you know, football's cranking up or people are wrapping up their summer baseball season. So I didn't expect everybody to be able to make it, but, you know, if they can make it, they can make it, and we'll make the best of the situation.
What will, I guess, what's going to be the style, the philosophy here? I mean, you know, it's still basketball, but girls versus boys, it's obviously different.
Yeah, I think one thing, speed of the game is a little bit different. Yeah. I can remember, and this is no offense to girls, because we have some really good girls basketball around here, but I remember coming from kind of from Steve Moore's program and being around high school boys and then taking over the girls program and trying to watch film, and it was like, it felt like it took a while for everything to develop. So
you're right.
So now going back the other way, I've even noticed at our open gyms, I'm like, man, everybody looks fast, even if they're not the fastest. So that'll take a little bit of adjustment. But, you know, like you said, basketball is kind of basketball, and those things will pan itself out.
And I really do think that you're a known commodity in Hillsborough. And I said after your hiring, this was the best outcome Hillsborough could have hoped for after everything that had transpired. You know, if you were an out-of-town guy coming into this situation, it might be a little bit tricky, but I just don't see that happening. I mean, you're a Hillsborough guy.
Yeah, that's kind of one of those things that when everything was going down and, like I said, I kind of took those 2 weeks not only to contemplate, you know, the family situation, but just kind of everything that went on. And, you know, I kind of picked people's brains throughout the community and kind of if they thought this may be a good idea. And some people were like, eh, I don't know. But, you know, at the end of the day, I've kind of always tried to live by this, you know, control what you can control sort of thing. And, you know, I always try to go into everything with a positive attitude, even if it's, you know, maybe not the easiest situation. So at the end of the day, that's all you can do is just kind of control what you can control and be who you are and see what happens.
So it's made you the good coach that you've been here over the years. And I mentioned you've got a talented squad here. And, you know, to me, Drake Vogel is just one of those kids. I just love watching this kid compete. I don't care what he's doing, whether it's on the baseball diamond or on the basketball floor. I just love what Drake Vogel brings to a team.
Oh, no doubt about it. He's a competitive kid. He likes to compete, and you know, he was able to make it to a couple before he took off, and you know, I watched him on film, but some of the stuff he did the other day at open gym was like, yep, he's pretty good. And he's not the only one. You know, like I said, not everybody's been able to make it, but you know, Will Christian has been at open gym every day this week, and man, that boy is smooth, and he gets after it. So, you know, those are just a couple of the guys that I've been able to see. But no, I'm looking forward to it. It's not a normal situation where you walk in, you know, with a bunch of talent, and you know, and I've heard a lot of, well, talent brings pressure. Well, what do you want to do? What would you rather have?
Right, right.
Would you rather have no talent, no pressure, or a lot of talent and some pressure? Mm-hmm. And you know, pressure's kind of you know, just one of those things that comes with coaching.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. Like you want to play the best. You want to challenge yourself. You don't want to just play a schedule where you just beat everybody by 35. That's no good.
No doubt. And you know, and another thing that came up was, well, they went under. What if you don't go into, well, we're hoping to play a full schedule. And, you know, if we play a full schedule and we go to Carlisle and run into Pinckneyville or Nashville or something like that, we're going to have a battle on our hands.
That's right.
And, you know, even in our conference, you know, I've heard Payne has had a heck of a summer. So it's, you can write all the stuff down on paper, but you got to go out and earn it. So.
Well, I'll say this. To me, you, Hillsborough, and Pena are certainly odds-on favorite in the South Central next year. But I can say with a fairly confidence here, you're not going undefeated.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that does not happen very often. Yeah, that's just basketball in general. It doesn't matter how good you are. But, no, I'm, like I said, I'm just trying to go into it with a positive attitude, and I'm excited, and just can't wait to get all the boys together
And then, Kyle, I guess final question, who's going to be on your staff?
Right now we're still kind of working on that. Nothing's been immediately, or, you know, nothing at the time is final. So I can't really comment on that until board, you know, we get board approval and all that sort of stuff. But, that's still kind of a work in progress.
You're a one-man show right now.
Well, yeah, anybody can run an open gym.
I couldn't, I'll tell you that, so not anybody could do it. Kyle, congratulations on the new job. Thank you so much for your time, as always. We look forward to following the Toppers here coming up this winter.
Thanks a lot, Tim. I appreciate it.
All right, that's Kyle McBrain, the new Hillsboro boys basketball coach, and David also the baseball coach. And this dude can just coach. He, you know, like some people, you hear the old adage about, take your guys and beat his guys. Kyle's one of those guys. It doesn't matter what shape the ball is. If there's a ball involved and there's a team to be coached, he can do it.
Yeah. Just a talented guy. He was a fantastic athlete, and it's translated to him being a really good coach as well.
Yeah, and his mindset, right? We always talk about what high school sports is about, and he understands what it's about. Yeah, you want to win. Of course you want to win, but there's a lot more that goes into high school coaching than just wins and losses.
Oh, absolutely. It's, as Terry always said, it's an extension of the classroom. So
100%.
Yep.
We need to get to a break here. So we just talked to the new Hillsboro boys basketball coach, Kyle McBrain. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk with the new athletic director at Litchfield High School, Dan Stewart, when Sports Saturday rolls on.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI, and we rejoin Tim Mize.
All right, David, thank you very much. Coming up later in the program, we'll have part two of our conversation with Denny Umberger on the life of his good friend, Iden Gonelson. And also here in this portion of our conversation, we talk kind of about those great times when Iden and Terry Tote got together. That was a pair right there. And we will have some fun with Denny Umberger coming up later in the program. Cardinal baseball for you this evening from Cincinnati, 5:15 with the pregame coverage on WSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9 and 92.9. Well, Litchfield has had some interesting times here over the last few weeks. A new athletic director installed as Dan Stewart and Mark Elvers swapped places. So Dan Stewart now the athletic director at Litchfield, and then just late last week, new boys basketball coach Lance Bolt surprisingly turned in his resignation, caught everyone off guard.
He bolted.
There you go. And joining us on the phone right now is new Litchfield athletic director Dan Stewart. And Dan, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. How you doing this morning?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me on today. Appreciate it.
Hey, we're going to get to a lot of different things concerning Litchfield athletics here, but we must start with the opening at the boys basketball position, and you don't expect to have a position come open after you just filled it a couple months prior. So, Dan, just kind of take us through the events of the last 10 days or so as this all unfolded.
Sure, I'll do my best, we're certainly prepared, I think, for these things. We've got a great group, a great staff, administration that's very supportive, school board that's supportive. Like you said, it caught all of us off guard. I think the Bolt family had some plans and intentions to come to Litchfield and kind of start over with as the head coach, and his wife was also going to teach here. But we were certainly shocked when we got the news from him. I was starting to get a little bit of a vibe, I guess, if you will, that maybe there was something up. It's unfortunate. I wish him the best and his family the best. I'm not totally sure that it's public knowledge where they're landing yet. You may know that, but we're prepared. We're ready. We got a lot of good things happening, like you said, and the hunt is on, and so we have opened that position. We've had a little bit of interest in that position, but we also haven't really gotten too serious with it. Fortunately, basketball is a winter sport, right. So we've got a little bit of time. Unfortunately for the boys, that put in the work this summer and worked with Coach Bolt, they're kind of left, kind of wondering what's going to happen, where are we going to be. You know, the immediate concern for Litchfield High School, of course, is finding quality educators, and we need to find a good social studies teacher to educate our kids and a family consumer science teacher as well. So that's kind of where we stand.
And, Dan, from a pure basketball perspective of this, short-term versus long-term, right? Like, short-term, you have an immediate need here just a few months from now, opposed to long-term, maybe vision and goal. Are you looking for the next person you hire to hopefully be the long-term guy, or do you anticipate maybe, I hate to use the term, stopgap?
You know, I think that's fluid a little mm-hmm. bit right now. We're still, like I said, we're still pretty fragile with the whole situation, figuring some things out as days go by, even now, 2 weeks later, a week and a half later. It would be great if we were able to find somebody that could be a long-term solution for Litchfield High School basketball. But we're also trying to see, you know, what the interest level is, who's out there, who wants to help us in the short term, like you said, because there may be somebody out there who's got that coaching experience that sees a program like ours with a lot of potential, mm-hmm. and we've got a lot of good things going here that wants to be involved and wants to make sure this thing stays on the rails and keeps going the right direction. And if it's a short-term plan for them, then that's probably okay. Otherwise, yeah, certainly we're always hoping to get someone in who you know, wants to do more than just last through the honeymoon stage and wants to be in it for the long haul.
So. Talking with Dan Stewart, new Litchfield athletic director. And Dan, so many times, and Litchfield has had their struggles over the years. It's been well documented here recently. But so many times I feel like athletic departments, they get judged on football, boys and girls basketball, and volleyball. Kind of, you know, the big four. And if those four aren't meeting expectations, somehow the whole athletic department can get brushed. Oh, man, the athletic department is in big trouble. And when I look at Litchfield, you know, you got a two-time wrestling state champion in Will Carlisle, but the Davidson brothers are doing a phenomenal job with that program. You look at the track program with Dan Newkirk and the great influx of young talent coming there, all the kids that just went to state. I see a lot of promise there. The girls' soccer program is in good hands as well. We've seen success. So on the surface, you know, it hasn't been pretty. But when you start to look just across the whole, there's a lot of positives with Litchfield.
There are. And I will say, I mean, some of those things are become – and the COVID year, again, I hate using it as an excuse, but for sure, it was tough to kind of battle through that and with some of the challenges that we had. And but, you know, we're looking at, well, we're going to be hosting the boys' soccer this fall, which is exciting. We're going to continue the co-op with Gillespie, but they'll be in the purple and white and playing here at Litchfield High School. And we just hired the soccer coach earlier this week. And he's already been in contact with boys and trying to get them excited. And we're probably looking mid-20s for numbers on that.
Nice.
Which is fantastic. Our football camp this summer, we've been mid-upper 30s, close to 40 some days. So that's pretty good for us. I mean, that may not be great for some schools, but, you know, like you said, we've had some challenges. And so those are things that we're looking at. And we've got a good young coaching staff, Coach Carlson for football. You know, a lot of folks got to know Coach Connor White during the baseball
yes.
season and his capabilities. And, you know, I think the kids are starting to be able to relate maybe to some of these coaches. And, yeah, and then, of course, you've got the old veterans, the Rob Corsos of the world and the Dan Newkirks of the world and Shane Cresses that have kind of been around a while. And those guys are willing to put their arms around, you know, some of these younger coaches and trying to keep them, you know, going in the right direction and be positive about it. But yeah, we've got some exciting things happening this fall, so for sure.
And, you know, Dan, when I think about, you know, Litchfield over the last few years, kind of a defining moment maybe was the decision to play varsity football that fall when it was a primarily roster of freshmen. It didn't go well, and in hindsight, it wasn't a good idea. That has been admitted to as much by the folks around Litchfield. But this time around, a different decision was made to not play football this spring and just get ready for the fall season. The right decision, clearly. Just talk a little bit about that process and the ability to recognize, okay, what we did before, that probably wasn't the best idea. Let's go a different way.
Sure. Well, you know, that was something probably that had been there's probably been out there in the ether before I became, you know, before I got to Litchfield
right.
High School. You know, I'm a graduate of a little bit about myself too. I'm a graduate of Litchfield, 2005. I played soccer, but during that time when I was in school, I mean, it was really there were some good teams there. That was the year that our football team had, you know, our good runs, and Mark Elvers was a big part of that. And Mark Elvers has kind of stepped up, and even though he's on the retirement loop, we only got him for a few more years. He is, you know, adamant about, you know, leaving this place in a better spot than when he got here. And you know, he helped resurrect the football program that many years ago, and I think he would love to see that happen again. And one of the hard decisions is to say, putting a group of freshmen and sophomores out with varsity football players, you know, seniors, juniors, who were well equipped, was probably not the right thing to do. And luckily for us, the South Central Conference was maybe not all that happy about it, and I don't blame them one bit.
Right.
But they understood. I think they knew where we were and the fragile place that we were in, and so kind of all of those things together, you know, allowed us to kind of get away with that for this shortened COVID season and play just JV football, essentially, and, you know, put us in a place where now, I think this fall, you know, obviously right now we're planning to play varsity and JV schedules with the numbers that we have and the boys that we have that are out for the team now.
And I said throughout this COVID season, it was a good year to be bad and a bad year to be good, because if you were good this past year, especially in the fall or winter sports, there was nowhere to go. But it was just, it was one of those battle years, talking with Dan Stewart, the new Litchfield AD. And I remember when we had Will Carlisle in studio a couple of weeks ago, he was talking about how he finally got to take a breath and relax playing multiple sports. He basically went nonstop practice or games every day for essentially 4 months. And Dan, this summer had to be a little bit different because you want to get your summer work in for the upcoming season, but at the same time, a lot of these kids are coming off of literally 4 consecutive months of sport after sport after sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Coach Carlson, our new football coach, and again, because of COVID, a lot of folks probably haven't had a chance to meet him, but hopefully they will this year. But, you know, Coach Carlson has done a nice job on the football side of that. His wife, Abby, is the head coach for volleyball. The cheer coach, and even Coach Bolt for the time he was here, I think they recognized it. You know, they realized that we've got to get in, we've got to get the reps, but we're going to have to be a little more flexible than maybe we have been in years past. Our expectations need to be in line with what the world has served up to us here. And let's get through the summer. Let's allow kids to be kids a little bit, and let's try to make sure they're hungry when the fall gets going and when we really hit the ground running.
And the numbers have been an issue. This isn't just a Litchfield problem. This has been a small public school problem growing here for the last number of years. But it really is a challenge now, isn't it, to have – we can't have our minds think about what the numbers were 20 years ago because conditions have changed. Situations have evolved.
Yeah, for sure. We share a lot of athletes, and that was one thing, you know, that we talked to Coach Bolt a lot before he accepted his position to basketball, you know, and you know, we've got the numbers and we've got the kids, and I think we have the coaches in place that will get some of these you know, students excited that maybe aren't involved. I've already heard a few names. I don't want to dox anybody here and call them out and, you know, put them on the spot, but I think we have some students who you know, are starting to see some of the good things we have going here and are maybe willing to give it a shot, whether that's soccer or football or volleyball or cross country or golf, you know, this fall. I think things, at least on our level, on the local level here, Litchfield High School, I think they're trending the right way. So I'm excited. I'm really excited about it. Hoping the IHSA will kind of reconfirm where we're at, you know, to get things started here. But I'm excited for the fall, and I know there's a lot of folks in Litchfield ready to put their purple on for Friday night football and coming back into the gym for volleyball games and those kind of things too.
Oh, Lloyd Hill Phil will be a rock, and there's no question about
it
that.
Will.
Then on the IHSA front, what is the latest guidance as you understand it in terms of if nothing changed from now until when fall sports start, will masks still be required, say, for a volleyball game?
I think right now this is just last I knew kind of going on their website. It's possible I could have missed something, but last I knew is it kind of goes back to the vaccinated, unvaccinated thing right now. So we're still, at least according to their website, we're still falling into phase five, which means there's basically no scheduling restrictions, restrictions on capacity for events and things. But students who are vaccinated, at least, again, this is for now, vaccinated, they'll be able to be unmasked, and so it doesn't really differ from the rest of the world as far as that goes. Well, at least that's what I'm seeing now. I'm also crossing my fingers and hoping that in the next 3 weeks things don't turn for the worse and we have to change everything, but that's where we're at now.
So. Okay, sounds good. Dan Stewart, congratulations on the new job. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and look forward to seeing you at Litchfield Athletics here starting in just a few short weeks.
Yeah, look forward to seeing you guys. Thanks, Dan.
All right, that is Dan Stewart with Litchfield, the new athletic director. And, David, you heard him talking about Mark Elvers, and Mark was – he was there – at the right time to kind of get, as Dan Stewart alluded to, get Litchfield back on the rails, so to speak.
Yeah, a guy who has a long, rich history with athletics, and specifically with Litchfield athletics, brought a steadiness to that position, getting them on the right track, really to where they need to be headed. I mean, they've kind of been in limbo for a few years. Numbers that we've seen numbers decline, and that's not necessarily a problem specific to Litchfield. It is a problem around high schools
across the board.
Yeah, across the country. But now numbers at least are starting to pick up a little bit more now. And it appears, I mean, he had been putting the right people in place. You know, hiring the right coaches, hiring coaches who would do a good job. Now one of those has taken off, and I didn't mean to be insensitive with the Bolt joke, but it was just there.
Nah, it was just hanging out there.
His name fit.
You had to take the swing.
Too well. It fit too well, but yeah. He was the right guy for the job, and I think Dan's going to do a good job as well.
Oh, he's going to do a fantastic job, but you know, we talked about it a little bit last week, but when football and the basketball programs and volleyball are down a little bit, that tends to be what a majority of people see.
Yeah.
You know? But, and we've tried to shine some more light on, you know, the other sports, because they're putting in just as much time, you know? And it's great to see, like, these individual sports, you know, when you see these kids compete. Like, we're in Olympic mode now, right? I was watching some swimming this morning. Like, There's just something about those individual sports, you know, whether you're representing your country or your school, where that pride, it's real.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely right. And I think it's something that's been missing from Litchfield for some time, unfortunately. There hasn't been as big of a pride factor.
Well, and,
there.
You know, we talk about there's more than wins and losses, and it's absolutely true. But the other side of that is, you have to have success at some point. Otherwise, you just get defeated and beat down.
Right.
Right? It's like if you never see the success at all, it is so much harder to put in the work to get better. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but when you see that all the work paid off and that the end result was a win, it just reinforces, okay, what I'm doing is right.
Right.
And even if you're not winning the game, the work is still benefiting you. But if you don't, you know, when you don't see the result, all of a sudden it just kind of layers on top of each other, and it starts with one kid, then it's like, I don't want to play, you know, we're going to get smoked, then it's two kids, then it's three, and the next thing you know, you got a big numbers problem.
Right.
And but then it can turn around the other way just as quick.
Right. We talked about it with the Lincolnwood girls basketball program earlier this summer, how, you know, sometimes it's easy to get down when the losses keep piling up, but you have to remember it's a long game.
It's a long game. Yeah. You're building something.
Right.
That's exactly right. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, part two of our conversation with our good buddy Denny Umberger. A few laughs, some good stories as we talk about Aiden Gonelson and Terry Tote. Welcome back to Sports Saturday here with Denny Umberger talking about the great Aiden Gonelson. And it's been a while since you were here, but the last time you were here, Aiden was here and Terry was here. And those were special moments in time. And since I found out about Aiden's passing, I've thought about those multiple Saturday mornings where they were both here, you were here, and just it was a special moment in time looking back at it. You don't necessarily sometimes realize those things in the moment. I think the three of you in some way maybe did recognize the special just kind of connection that was going on there with you three back 10, 15 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, I agree. I think in the beginning to come in here, of course, if you put a camera, a microphone in Aiden, he's a Mr. Smoother. He's right there. You know, you get a bricklayer from over here and Colton coming over here, you're kind of like, I'm not so sure I'm going to be good at this. And I'm still not very good at this.
You don't give yourself enough credit,
well,
Denny.
But whenever we sat down, and we had discussed this early off the air, that there were so many stories off the air that it just seemed like, just like in life, it's a snap of a finger.
Yeah.
Preparing to come over here for the first time, sitting down, it was over. And all, you know, and we had many times coming over here. But I thought one day, you know, boy, we can just keep doing this. You know, this can be a thing because I really enjoy it. Just getting together. And we got together several times out on the soccer field, and we had great discussions that lasted hours.
Well, I know, like, when you were the soccer coach at Lincolnwood, Terry enjoyed that so much. He was so proud of that Lincolnwood soccer program always, but specifically during that era, because there was some great, great soccer played at Lincolnwood when you were there. But that connection that Terry had with you and Lincoln, I think he was even helping you out
from time to time
with those groups of kids. And then, you know, when you think about the connection that you both had to Aiden, it's one of those things you don't see it all that often. And those two specifically, you mentioned them, they both had a laugh that was just so engaging and just so wonderful to hear. Like when those two would be in here and they'd both be laughing at the same time, it's like, well, you can't top that.
Yeah, no. It was thrilling, if that's still a word you can use, because
it is to me.
It was nice. And there was a couple times I would just kick this chair back and it was like I was in a different place just watching this. And of course we had the other coaches, you know, Hillsborough, Litchfield, I think Staunton, Gillespie came in here a couple times, and it was great seeing them guys. But these guys kind of ran the show, and I would throw in on it and stuff, you know. And you were talking about Terry with Lincolnwood soccer. Him and I had worked together trying to get this thing rolling. And it took a few years to get Nokomis and Raymond going. And it was, to me, a blessing that we did it. Not on my end, just because it happened. But Terry was huge in it.
I loved it.
Whenever they say, you ran the program, I said, I'm going to tell you, I would not be honest if he wasn't next to me on all. He went to seed meetings that we used to do. He would jokingly, take care of the field, make sure that and he would go to week. And,
he would always say no one had straighter lines than him.
Yeah.
The straightest lines around, he would say.
Yeah. Oh, and that's true. And there was times that we got to know this, and a little bit of what I call Aidenism is if we had a little bit better team coming through here that could handle the ball a little bit better than us, and we were younger at that stage or anything else, it wasn't a bad thing maybe to shrink that field down a little bit and let the grass grow a little taller. I mean, it's
hey, home field advantage.
Something I learned from coach, you know. But them days with Terry over there is unbelievable, and we had so much. Iden and Terry and I had so many great discussions. It's not just about soccer. It fell down to a lot of kids. And that's really what they were about. You know?
Terry was all about the kids. That was his primary focus every single day. It's all about the kids. That's what he would always say. Iden was the same way. Denny, you're cut from the exact same cloth. We're going to talk about a story here that you told me off the air, but I think it really kind of just sums you up and kind of just captures what Iden and Terry were both about. When Iden decided to go to Blackburn and become the coach, he wanted you to be his assistant. And you had to tell him no at first. And the reason why you had to tell him no is what high school coaching should be all about. Please tell us.
Well, we'd been close friends for a long time, and actually, Terry Tote had got a hold of Iden about the possible opening over there. So we were all excited because just love to see the guy coach. And we were talking, and after he got going, he said, I want you to come over here to be my assistant. He said, I need somebody with you to motivate and, you know, get along, and he's trying to build me up, you know. Of course I fell into it.
He had that ability.
And I told him, I said, you know, I've got some good years with the Lincolnwood program. You know, we started, Mike Meisner was my AD. And originally I asked questions about the team. And he was telling me, well, just let you know, last year and the 2 years before, we were like 1-13 and very lucky to be that one win, you know. So I thought, oh, I'm headed into something, you know. So we were doing it. And we had a good stretch over there. We sent a lot of kids to college, good program, I think. And Iden asked me. He said, no, I'm serious. He said, I want you to come to Blackburn. He said, I've already talked to the president, Mim Pride, over here, and they want you to come in for interview and all this. And what a great opportunity. So I brought my seniors together. At the time was Nick Watson was one of them and Nicholas Crane, and there's others. And I set them down and said, hey, I got this opportunity coming over here to go to Blackburn. And I said, you guys would be fine because you know your roles, blah, blah. You know, I went on and on. And they just kind of stopped me dead in my tracks and said, Coach, if you're not going to be here, I don't know if we want to keep playing with it. You know, one was going to move school district. One was going to do, they were all going to start venturing out. And what got me is a couple of them said, you know, whenever we were freshman and sophomore, you gave us our word that you'd be here through the whole thing. I thought, man, what a guilt trip. I teased them. And they said, no, if you got to go, we understand, but we don't want you to go. And I thought about it, and it just tugged on my heart. And I thought, and I battled with it, and I came to the decision. I did give these guys my word. And like I say earlier, from a little farm boy from Colton, be able to coach over at Blackburn was a great opportunity because I don't have the credentials. I never played the game younger. But that stopped me from going over there because of these young men and women that I told them I would be here. So I stayed another year, and I had to call Iden.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
And that went like what?
It went like dead air on a radio for 2 minutes.
Not good.
Not good. He said, you know, you're missing an opportunity. And he told me all the things I'm missing. You're missing an opportunity. It's a step up. It's big enough. He goes, you know, why? And I told him. He goes, buddy, that's the best ever.
Yeah.
He said, you go have a year like this, and you play every game like it's your last. And you tell them kids to play every game. He said, because if you give your word, you got to do it. He said, he laughed. He said, I'll try to leave an opening next year. So he left that in it. But we went through the year and had a great time. I believe that's the year that we made the Final 16. And we were in a class that we played Quincy Notre Dame and Sacred Heart Griffin. And you know we have 130 people. They have 1,300. Right. I mean, it's a big competition. We had a great season. Not just for the record, because of the kids, honestly. And so whenever we got done, I meekly called Iden, said, "Hey, I just let you know my contract's ended. I have an open contract." And he laughed, and he still wanted me to come over, and that's where I went over there.
What were those years like? I can only imagine that those were so special to get to be on the same staff as Iden Gottesman.
Well, you know, what's funny is me and my boys always was, they were always around him as a kid, so it was kind of like Uncle Iden, mm-hmm. you know. And both of them, Ryan and Nick, both played collegiate level up. And Nick tells the story of the Mayor's Cup. Just to play on the field that Iden coached was awesome, you know.
Right.
So whenever I'm over at Blackburn, I just thought, you know, how unbelievably lucky I am. You know, because once again, I don't have the credential. He had former players that have all the degrees, all the coaching, this and that, and he still wanted me. So it was unbelievable. But in the whole thing, once again, he took on another challenge. You know, he took on a challenge in Springfield in the 70s where it was nothing. And Blackburn is a great school. I always say it's a hidden secret that nobody knows around here because it's a great college. Great people run it. And we went over there, but the soccer program wasn't at the level he definitely wanted. So it was kind of a rebuilding and going. We met great people. The head coach over there, Rob now was a former student and a soccer player. He was a senior, I think, whenever I was over there. So it was great, and I can see the process more. We started building up. We took on a little different teams. We went out of state and played in a tournament. You know, we developed we had enough members that we had a JV team, believe it or not. Now, this started from whenever Iden was going through the hallways just asking women if they could kick a ball because he needed bodies on the women's team.
Wow.
So he was a builder. He really was.
That really is kind of his, in terms of like soccer. He was great and won the national championships. But it sounds like his coaching legacy really is the ability to build a program. And that's the hardest thing to do in college athletics, is to take a program from nothing and build it up.
Yeah. There were stories that they used to tell him, and all them guys would get together. Joe Eck, who was his assistant, and then Milton was manager with them. These guys would get together and tell the stories of them early on things. And it was just, it's comical.
Yeah.
Because they were playing teams, you know, they were just automatically. I don't think, and this is how I kind of ran the high school team. I ran it off based on his schematics, because that's really what I knew from soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So whether these kids knew it or not, they were kind of playing that next level up. Because high school to collegiate is a different game. It is in baseball, football, of them. And soccer, it's a step up. It really is. So I think that's why these kids blended so well based on what he was doing. But all these guys, he wasn't afraid to take on the task.
Right.
So, he told me, he said, "Yeah, they made fun of me coaching this team, and they would beat me," he said, "the first time."
Yeah, he got the last laugh,
didn't
he?
He always competitive.
Yeah. Vinny, one final thing. When I think, you've mentioned it here a couple times today, some farm boy from Little Colton, and you got Iden Gottesman, a soccer guru from Turkey. It's like, it really is a great American friendship, right? Like, only in America could Denny Umberger and Iden Gottesman come together and develop this, you know, just this incredibly close, tight-knit bond.
Well, you say only in America. That was one of his favorite sayings.
It was.
Excuse me. We were go someplace. And people stay, you know, you'd have, you know, like the Turks stay with the Greeks. I just use them for an example. And but to blend them together, because you have differences, what you have in common, honestly, is the size of your heart, what you want to do, and your attitude. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, colors, top of the world, bottom of the world, anything. And that's what he brings. He always brought it. Hmm. I mean, I could sit there and tell you, you know, we would laugh and say things, you know, and he was always on the Greeks about stuff. You know, and I always tell him, you love them like brothers, you know, and that's what we need to do. Everybody really needs to do it, honestly. But it's so overwhelming. And, yeah, although we had different backgrounds, because I would always say, well, in order to do that, I'll have to sell a couple cows. And he would say, well, in order to do that, I'd have to sell a couple camels. You know, but in between somehow, our differences on where we were raised, it just got lost because, you know, you just have this, like Suna calls, it's brothers by heart is what we are. And and we've been together for so long. We've been different places, you know. Tina and I had been to Florida with them several times. We got the great adventure to go over to Turkey, which was scary and a mind-boggling things that we did over there.
Well, the story's about, was it the Black Sea?
The Aegean Sea.
Yeah, swimming in the sea.
Yeah, yeah. And driving to Goat Island, they call it, off of it and everything. And there was we had a little boat that normally nobody would even be safe to be in. But over there, you know, and I got a chance to drive it over there. You know, we're all sitting over to it. So all the opportunities come, but he was a man of opportunity. He just was. He's like Terry. You know, Terry was so important in this community. Unbelievable. All the way from refereeing basketball whenever him and I were just volunteering, and he would hold the ball and drop it over these little fourth and fifth graders. You know, I like this guy. It's them people in the world that we got attached to.
Yeah.
And because they're just amazing people.
Yeah, Terry would always say, I'm not any good, but I'm on time.
Yeah.
That's what he would, I'm no good, but I'm on time.
Yeah. Two great guys, and there's a lot of other people. You know, we talked about the others and stuff. But on this one here, I couldn't say enough about Aiden. And through them, we got to know the daughters and wife. And
I know this is probably an impossible thing for you to do. But if you could use just a handful of words to kind of describe Aiden Gonaldson, I know that's a tough one. But like, you know, when you think of Aiden, for somebody that never met Aiden Gonaldson, if you were to describe him to them, how would you do it?
He would be a man that would get your heart.
Yeah.
He would just be as rough as what he wanted to sound like at times and do that, he was the opposite. I don't remember a time ever going over there that he didn't ask how our kids were doing.
Yeah.
He was caring. You know, whenever Terry was still around, he would always ask about him. How's WSMI and those guys doing? He was reaching out. So there's a lot of words. I can't think of too many negative. Even whenever we disagreed on our systems or anything else, there's always a common solution. There's a settlement. He loved life.
He loved life. And, you know, just like he was 100% real in coaching, he was 100% real in life, too. Like, and that was his great appeal, wasn't it? He was so genuine, just such a great man, and he will be missed forever. But the legacy, that's not going anywhere.
No. And I've seen, throughout the years, literally thousands of people have been attached to him. And if we can all just keep the good that he's shown us, it's made me a better person. I got a long ways to go, you know, but it's made me a so much better person. I used to say I need my Aidenisms.
It's his Aidenisms, and that was just a wonderful conversation we had with Denny Umberg, and we thank him very much for sharing his thoughts on Aiden Gonaldson. Thanks to Kyle McBrain and Dan Stewart for joining us this morning here on Sports Saturday. And a week from today, David, Kelsey Card will throw in the Olympic Games for the second time.
How about that?
And hopefully not in a driving rainstorm this year. That'd be nice. And Reed Detmers, he will make his first start for AAA Salt Lake City tonight, the AAA affiliate of the Angels. For David Jenkins, I am Tim Mai. Sports Saturday is done here on WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. Have a great sporting weekend.